Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is.
Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. On this Monday, we return to Genesis chapter 15, verses 2 and 3, and the complaint issued by Abram to God. We talked about this in an introductory way on Friday, and I hope you were with us for that. If not, you can always get caught up by visiting the website godisministry.org and listening to Friday's free podcast that can easily be found on the homepage godisministry.org. Let me read the text and then we will dig in. Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 3. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great." Abram said, "O Lord God, what will you give me since I am childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abram said, "Since you have given no offspring to me, one born in my house is my heir." In verse 1, God commands Abram not to fear, because he is Abram's shield and very great reward. Then in verses 2 and 3, Abram expresses a genuine fear. He takes two verses to ask the Lord, "What about the fact that I am childless?" God is being God, giving promises and assurances, and Abram is being human. Tired of waiting, he is asking, "Where is the fulfillment of such promises and assurances?" Abram is like us. He is weary of the delay and the fulfillment of what God has said will happen in Genesis chapters 12 and 13. And we read those promises on Friday. And so Abram, he speaks up. And I want you to notice that the Lord gives him full opportunity to vent. He speaks twice in both verses 2 and 3, and God is patient with him, hearing him out. God has promised Abram a son, but now he and his wife Sarai are 10 years in the land of Canaan. They are getting much older and losing hope. God's timing is not Abram's timing, and that is evident in these verses. As we will find out, promises delayed are not promises denied, but it sure feels this way to the aging Abram. The Hebrew word translated as childless in verse 2 means stripped. To be childless is to be stripped, laid bare, destitute of child. There is passion in this complaint. In the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Bible's Old Testament, "I am childless," verse 2 reads, "I die childless. I will leave the world and leave no child behind me." And the phrase, still in verse 2, "What will you give me?" in Hebrew reads, "What could you give me?" I do not see what you could possibly give me, God, that would equate with having my own son. Abram is desperate for this son, this male heir. Nothing else matters to him now. In fact, he picks up on the Lord's promise to be his reward, verse 1, by wondering aloud, "Is the reward a son? Is the reward God has for him this child?" And by the use of Eliezer of Damascus, Abram is asking, "Will this son you have promised me perhaps be an adopted son?" And we will look at this again when we discuss this week the importance of having an heir in Mesopotamian culture. So this is the content of the complaint. I think there is something valuable to make note of here, and my insight is this. Complaining to God is not necessarily a sign that you lack faith or that your faith in him is weak. In fact, complaining to God can be a sign of faith. an indication your faith in God is strong. I do not believe Abram's faith is weak in Genesis 15. In fact, in verse 6, we will be straightforwardly told that Abram lived by his faith in God. I definitely see that within Abram's complaint lies a persistent hope in the Lord. It is because Abram is clinging to the promise of God that he articulates this grievance. His faith leads him to speak to the Lord in this manner. How so? Notice how Abram begins in verse 2, O Lord God. That is a respectful and reverent way to address God. And then what follows is the servant of God grappling with why God's promises have not yet come to fruition in his life. Remember that Abram knows about the covenant God has made with him back in Genesis 12 and 13. And Abram is intelligent enough to realize that in order for the covenant to exist, there has to be a male heir to initiate the vast numbers of descendants to follow from him. Robert Harbash put it this way, heirship is based on sonship. Heirship is based on sonship. If there is no son, then there is no heir. Given that the son is necessary to the fulfillment of the promise, Abram is holding on tight. There is a faith-filled complaint here. Abram is tenaciously holding on to the guarantee of a baby boy. He is unwilling to separate himself from the hope of God's promises. This is what faith does. This is the practice of faith. Stick to the Lord and never let go of him. Hold him to his promises. In fact, let me go ahead and read Genesis 13, verse 16. This is the Lord's words to Abram. I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if anyone can number the dust of the earth, then your descendants can also be numbered. Well, we hear that, and it makes sense that Abram will then ask, in Genesis 15, verse 2, what will you give me, since I am childless? Even sounding accusatory of God in verse 3, since you have given no offspring to me. At that point, in verses 4 and 5, God responds by affirming what has been guaranteed. I'm reading slightly ahead in Genesis 15, verses 4 and 5. Then behold, the word of the Lord came to Abram, saying, this man will not be your heir, but one who will come forth from your own body. He shall be your heir. And he took him outside and said, now look toward the heavens, and count the stars, if you are able to count them. And God said to him, so shall your descendants be. That's Genesis 15, verses 4 and 5. So God is responding to Abram's faith again. I say it regularly, there is such a dynamism in the relationship between God and Abraham. Their connection is full of vitality and vigor. Just observe the way Abram talks to God and God talks to Abram. This back and forth is instructive for us. Do you have such a vibrant bond with the Lord God? Surely you have complaints, and I want to assure you, they can be faith-based. It is not a strange thing to wrestle with the living God. I can hear Jesus saying, come unto me. And here in Genesis, we see as plain as day, the Lord receiving and hearing Abram's faith-filled lament. God loves it when we have faith in him. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. May it be so that your faith and trust in God will lead you to tell him all about how you are feeling and to address any complaints you may have. In every Christian's experience, there are times, I think many times, of questioning. And of course, we want to test our attitudes when we come into the presence of our King. I go back to something we said Friday. Is it okay to complain to God? Yes, but it is not okay to complain of God or about God. As Matthew Henry appropriately noted, though we must never complain of God, yet we have permission to complain to Him and to be particular in the statement of our grievances. And it is some ease to a burdened spirit to open its case to a faithful and compassionate friend. Such a friend God is, whose ear is always open. End of quote. So by all means, do test whether or not you are complaining to God or complaining about God. But so long as by faith you come as Abram came, I believe you are welcome at the throne of God's grace to say in earnest and heartfelt prayer, "Where are you, God? What are you doing in my life? What about this promise of yours? When will it be fulfilled? Is what I am now going through the fulfillment?" And questions like these. I want to encourage you, dear friend, not to hold back from the God who loves you and who through Christ has invited you into fellowship day by day with Him. Lay your burdens at His feet and see how He responds. Wait patiently for the Lord. Seek Him and wait for Him. Yes, this requires faith. Complaining to God is not necessarily a sign that you lack faith or that your faith in Him is weak. In fact, complaining to God can be a sign of faith, an indication your faith in God is strong. This is today's lesson. And right now, before you forget, may be a great time to speak up to the Lord in prayer and to tell Him what is on your mind and in your heart. Follow Abram as your example. If you will speak to the Lord by faith in Him and in His dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, God will hear you. Do that and then join us again tomorrow, because God is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.